Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We just praise you, Lord, that we're able to get together from all across the country and even right here locally. We praise you, Lord, that for the work that you're doing in every one of us. This is an exciting time that we're living in. It's an exciting world. You can see the world is just in a turmoil all over. But Lord, unless we have come to you, we'd all be worried, but we're not worried because we know that you have us. We thank you, Lord, that your protection surrounds all of us. And Lord, we have our eyes locked on you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been answered and going to be answered, because we have great and bold faith to believe what your word says. And you know, Lord, this thing with this quantum faith is so amazing to me. And I thank you, Father, that you have shown us how you even created the universe through this quantum thing, it looks like. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for showing us, Lord. You said in these end times, great miracles are going to happen. And I believe it. I thank you, Lord, for the explanation of everything that's going on around us, through us, and in us, Lord. And we praise you for all that you're going to do in the days to come and show us even more good stuff. And I praise you, Father, for the brilliant minds that you're going to give us all, because the mind of Christ is the one that has it all. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunities to translate here, yon, and wherever, if the need arises. And I thank you, Father, that at some point in time, it looks like that may be a gift that is used quite a bit in the days ahead to help people, to drag people out of death's door. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord, bless us tonight with revelations. Bless us with your glory. Bless us with your infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for prayer. My great-grandmother, she's turning 100 this year.
Oh.
So we're going to go up and see her and surprise her for her birthday. So
I'll bet she'll be excited.
Yeah.
Could you get around pretty good?
No, not really. She needs help getting around.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just lift this 100-year-old. Is this your grandmother?
Yeah, my dad's grandmother.
Okay. Your dad's grandmother. Okay. Lord, we just lift up Nick's grandmother. We thank you, Father, for blessing her with this 100-year-old birthday. Father God, very few people make it to that age. And I thank you, Lord, for saving her whenever it's time. And Lord, I thank you that she's going to go right straight to you in Jesus' name. And Nick's going to be happy to go up there and see her. And Grandma's going to be happy too. Everybody's going to be happy to see her in Jesus' name. It's going to be a good time. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lana, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted prayer in agreement with my request. I went to Farragut today and I was stopped at a red light. Well, it wasn't a red light. I was stopped at a left turn light and I was waiting for the cars to pass, and I had already pulled out into the intersection to make the left turn. But by the time all the cars got past me, and I guess some of them were running yellow lights, it was red. And I was like, well, I'm far out enough in the intersection where I need to make this turn. So I went ahead and did it. And as I was making this left turn, somebody was gunning it in to make it into the left turn that would be coming T-bone at me. And he had a green light, but he slammed his brakes. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't a close call, but I took him by surprise because I was making a left turn on a red light. Anyways, as I drove through that, I realized, oh, hey, this is Farragut. They have red light cameras. And so I just want agreement. I didn't do this intentionally. I don't want a ticket. I really badly don't want a ticket. So Father God, I thank you for protecting me today during my trip. I thank you for protecting me from the guy that was trying to gun it through a green light, Father God. And I don't know. I missed it and I had to make that turn, Lord. And I hope they see it on that camera and they don't send me a ticket, Lord. I'm just asking for your mercy and much grace and favor. And I send forth the angels to just have them do what they need to do not to send me a ticket, Father God. That's all I can think of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. She's not going to get a ticket. Amen. She might get a little phone call, but that's all. In Jesus' name. All right. Missy, not even going to get a phone call. That's right, Julie. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was like, I thought you were going to say that, you know, you were in an accident. Praise the Lord that she wasn't in an accident.
Yeah, really. I thought that too.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for protection. Praise you, Jesus. And we thank you for that protection. And we thank you, Lord, for giving her favor and grace in this situation that she will not get a ticket. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you.
Thank you, Lord. Julie, did you have your hand? Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to add to that in agreement with our sister here and everybody. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us faith and you've given us authority. And we just command that those cameras, whatever they saw Lana pass through that light and it was still green on her side. In the name of Jesus, she did not break any laws and they're not going to show anything on that camera except a legal left turn in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we don't dwell in time, so we thank you for backing it up a little bit in Jesus' name. Amen. That's cool. All right. You don't look like a fugitive from justice, Lana. You really don't. Go ahead.
I don't know. Fia was commenting on his criminal wife over here. For the record, I have never received a ticket before. I only say that because I have more than once deserved a ticket. Every time I thought I'd get pulled over, I was like, I'm not even going to say a peep. I deserve this one. And it's never happened. So praise the Lord. I'd Amen. Just rather not start now either.
Amen.
But we have a praise report. We got a water bill and it got shoved over to the side for 10 days. And Fio went to pay it. And praise the Lord, they didn't shut off our water. They didn't make us pay the fine. They just took our money for the original bill, and that was it. So thank you, Lord, for a favor there as well.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I see you. All right, anyone else? Anybody else? Yeah, I remember that. It wasn't no ticket. All right. Anybody got any questions or anything they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Nick.
I have another prayer request. There was a huge accident on I-70 in Ohio and 6 people died and there was 15 people injured.
What, you have a fog or something?
No, I saw it on the YouTube.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just lift up everybody that's in the hospital, Lord, we thank you that everyone is going to survive. that are in the hospital, and we praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you utilize this time of mourning to bring people to you, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You don't know how it got started, huh?
Yeah, it actually started from a charter bus, and a semi truck hit it from behind. Hit the charter bus from behind.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it was a marching band that were, they were going somewhere and they had chaperones. So that's why they were in a bus. They got hit in the back with the, from a, by a semi.
Okay. All right, Lana. Go ahead.
Well, I have a praise report.
Yes.
I think it's been about 3 years, maybe going on four. Back when we first started having the sisters' prayer meetings on Sunday, on Friday mornings, I got a text from my sister, and I know she worded it the way she did because that's just how slander is done. But she said, our cousin, was, discovered to be gay. And I remember, just within minutes of receiving that message, asking the sisters to pray, and we did. And the other day I received a, photos from a cousin that I keep in touch with, and she went to South Carolina for a wedding, and it turns out it was his wedding. He recently got married, and over the last few years, I've suspected that there has been a bunch of slander involved against him, and nothing was ever clarified. And because I don't, I'm not close with my family or with my relatives, I never, felt the need to go and clear the air about this. But I never believed the slander. If any of it was true, we prayed about it. And so just praising the Lord that, he isn't a gay man. And I think what was coming out in the last couple of years was that it was never true to begin with. It was a slander attack against him for some reason. But that's a horrendous, horrendous slander attack in a community that's super conservative. And we literally, you don't have those, that kind of, you don't have that kind of stuff going on. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if stuff starts coming out, you know, in later years as they become more Americanized. But that's horrific. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, pretty horrific in other, national, you know, communities of different nationalities or even American communities, if you're very tight knit and very conservative and, stuff like that. But this is not something that should have lightly been thrown out there like that, but it was. And I praise the Lord that it obviously is not true. The guy, is leading an honest life, and he is now married to a beautiful young girl. They're in their mid-20s, if not late-20s. They're not, you know, they're younger than Theo and I. But I was just glad to see that he's married and that, no homosexuality involved by the grace of God. So praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we just ask that you shut the mouth of all the slanderers in that family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead, Anna.
Would it be all right if I read a couple paragraphs of something, Michael?
Sure.
It's, I've been reading this book called The Training of Children by William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. And Pat McKnight had mentioned this book probably 2 years ago. And I had searched the internet and I could not find it. But I went looking for it again recently. I was like, I gotta find this book. And I'm about 2/3 of the way through it, and it's been very good so far. Like with everything, you know, you gotta sift through, you know, make sure everything lines up with scripture, but most of it's been very good. But I came across this couple paragraphs yesterday, and I thought it was just, if nothing else, a testament to the sovereignty of God after our conversation on Tuesday. The format's a little weird. It's like, a question and then his answer and then a question and his answer. The whole book's that way. So anyways, the question is, may not children grow up into salvation without knowing the exact moment of conversion? And he says, yes, it may be so. And in the future, we trust this will be the usual way in which children will be brought into the kingdom. When the conditions named in the first pages of this volume are complied with, when the parents are godly and the children are surrounded by holy influences and examples from their birth and trained up in the spirit of their early dedication, they will doubtless come to know and love and trust their Savior in the ordinary course of things. The Holy Ghost will take possession of them from the first. Mothers and fathers will, as it were, put them into the Savior's arms in their swaddling clothes. And he will take them and bless them and sanctify them from the very womb and will make them his own without their knowing the hour or the place when they pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I just thought that was amazing that I read that yesterday. So praise the Lord.
That's awesome. William Booth was a wise man. Yeah, Andrew. Thank you, Anna. That was great.
You know, it reminds me of a little boy whose brother wanted to borrow his airplane, and he discerned something about himself. Oh, I was double-minded. You can play with my airplane now. And, don't throw it behind them, but to have the discernment for them, their own selves even, you know. So that's a wonderful thing. You know, I was excited when I heard that. I do play with the little ones I see sometimes in the background and stuff. You know, I like to see when things like that happen. It's so neat. But this was
Elisha.
I never really thought of it that way. I thought everyone had to go through some sort of great ordeal there where they come to the Lord. But I guess it would be the best that way to have it from a very young age and not even know that it happened to you.
that was Maxie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They come out with some stuff, don't they? Just amazes you.
You know, no pastor would admit to being double-minded. No grown-up would do that, you know. So you better. It makes you even more cautious for yourselves, actually, you know, to work at your salvation with fear and trembling. You want that fear. It's a good thing to have.
Maybe. Yeah, they are a treat. Anybody else? Anybody got a subject for tonight?
Just to clarify, he didn't fear to say that about himself. He was being honest. He had the fear of the Lord, though.
Yep, that's good. It's a good thing for him to do that. To admit it. Lord, put it in their hearts to understand it. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got any questions or answers? Boy, it's going to be a short night. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's while I got you on here and everybody's listening, we'll be no live stream tomorrow night. So we got closed door session. I do have a song. I gotta find it. All right, y'all ready? Y'all ready for a good song? All right, it's going to bring you up out of your chair now. I'm guarantee it's going to bring you up out of your chair. Man, that's a good one. I like that one. Makes you want to boogie down with him. Okay. We win. That's right. We do. We won the war. We won the battle. We run all the battles. Devil, you might as well just go on. Leave us alone. Because you are going to get beat every time. Glory to God. Woo! All right. Yeah, Joe.
Talking about winning a battle. A couple of months ago, my ankle started swelling up all the settings. So I asked for prayer. You prayed for me. And it was a couple of days and it was gone. But a couple of days later, it came back. And I was struggling for quite a few months about with it. And last week. Yeah, the Lord last week choked me about something about my ankles, why not getting my healing. I was praying about it. Imagine my healing, my ankles been swollen back and it's normal. And the Lord choked me as, I still have to, fix what I did a few months ago. I didn't confess it before a lady about my ankles. I was in a flesh and not in, my spirit. So I did confession, but it took me a couple of days, but now I'm a Lord showed me my, ankles, the swollen is gone. So it's he gave me picture about the, struggled me quite a few months because I was in the flesh and not confessing, the spirit and not the flesh. So Lord gave me victory. So my ankles is tipped up now. So I can,
I'm praise fine. God.
I've been blessed. Thank you, Father. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got any questions about quantum faith? Okay. Ask me. Yeah, Julie.
Are you the expert now? We can ask on this.
I don't anywhere near claim to be an expert. This is way.
I'm teasing you. I'm teasing.
I'll ask you if I can, because it involves faith.
Okay, so is it? Yeah, it is. That's what my question is. It's just to me how I'm my mind's working on it is. Oh, I'm receiving it anyhow. It's just continuing to believe you have received, expecting it to happen. And I've had at times when I prayed something, I knew it was faith and I absolutely knew it was done and I knew I was going to get my answer. And it happened the next day. It's like, it's like an almost immediate answer. Because I knew I had the faith. I knew there was absolutely no doubt that what I prayed, I needed an answer for. It was like a confirmation for something, and I had it. And then there's been other times where uncertainty or doubt about something will come in, or condemnation will come in. And that's, to me, it's just the quantum thing is just overcoming the whole mind of the flesh thing and the natural way of thinking and speaking and expecting it to manifest. So that's how I'm understanding what you shared yesterday is just more in a different
place. Well, just know this. If you remember that the subatomic particles showed up in a cloud until someone noticed it or looked at it, and then it would go into a particular a particle. And that particle behaves different when different people look at it. In other words, when you pray and you believe what you pray and you start confessing it, not in the future, but in the present or past, actually, it's done. And then you wait. That thing has a chance to grow. But when you go back and you so, well, I don't know if I got my prayers answered or not. You have just eliminated what you had gained when you prayed, because that particulate goes back into another form, I guess. I don't know, whatever it does. And that's what we're learning. We're learning when you do speak negative against what you've already prayed, you're back square one.
Okay. So when you say when they know that somebody has seen it, whatever that means, like in our mind's eye, we picture it in our imagination or something like that.
Yes. That's an even quicker way to getting an answer, just to imagine it being answered. And once you do that.
Imagination by faith.
Yes. That's chapter 9, I believe, in Real Good News. That's an awesome way to do it. And you'll get your answers a lot quicker by using your imagination, because then all of that stuff can, I just imagine it as little things going out there and then coming together and said, all right, boys, we got this. And then it gets done, whatever it is.
Is when God will. I'm sorry, Michael, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So I guess what's helpful is like if God's given me or you or anyone a dream or a vision or a personal word or something, he spoke to you, you know it was God, plus the whole word, right? The whole Bible, you can stand on that, and you see it, and you can see it in your mind's eye, and you heard it, and you know it was the Lord, and you just, that should solidify it for you, right? And that's where you hold on to.
Yep. Let me read what I read yesterday. The Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics is one way to understand the strange rules of the quantum world. It says that tiny particles, like electrons, exist in a blurry state of probability until we measure or observe them, at which point they pop into a definite place. This observer effect in science says we influence manifestations by focusing on something until it materializes in our experience. The outcome is simply a possibility in another dimension. And all that means is you keep your faith until you see it. You persevere in your faith until you see it manifest. And you don't say it, well, I'm just waiting on it to manifest. No, you don't. It's already been done. It's every bit already been done. I've seen that a lot of times with people say, well, I'm waiting on it to manifest. Well, you ain't never going to, it's like the guy said, it's like the greyhound races where the rabbit goes out in front and they never catch the rabbit. You're never going to get it if you're saying, well, I'm just waiting on it to manifest. He says, the word says, believe that you have received. That's past tense. That means it's already been done. All we're doing is thanking and praising God for it from that point on. And that's true faith that God wants out of us. And he's really drilling it home. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Well, you know I'm going to call on you.
I just, you know, there's a real good verse. It's in Philippians, I think. For what you just said, if everyone just remembers what you said there. And you have to apply this verse right away. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. If that's true, then whose faith are we depending upon for that? So I'm just talking about if the faith is with God and he gives us a gift of faith, then the faith, if it's with the same word, and for it is God that worketh in you both, and the both is you, and the companion of Christ in you, to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And of course, another good one is, for we are, I'll just say, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore hath ordained that we should walk in them, you know. And we know walk verses, walking in the light, walking in Christ Jesus, the Lord, as it says in Colossians 2 and 6, and walking in love and walking in faith. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Because it's fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Whereunto you were called. And you did give a good confession before many witnesses. Praise God.
Amen. All the faith that you need is what God's given you already. They said the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's pretty small. And then Annette Kapp, she said that the faith the size of a subparticle, atom, corpse, I think is what they call it. It's the same thing. Your faith, what it does, your faith does, it makes the invisible visible. I guess to put it in a simplified way. And what I was amazed by is that the Bible doesn't prove science. Science proves the Bible. The Bible is the catalyst for everything. God's work. We knew faith works. We've seen it happen time and time again, but to understand the mechanics of it is a whole new realm for me. I don't know about y'all, but it just fascinated me that you could speak to a subparticle that was a cloud, that's the way they called it. And then all of a sudden, depending on who spoke to it, that particle would go into a certain place. And that was the beginning of whatever it is. There was an experiment they talked about, this guy, Japanese, I believe he was. He's dead now. Omoto. He took two glasses of water from the same place. Everything was identical. And he cursed one glass every day, all day long. And he blessed the other glass every day, all day long. And he, after some days of doing that, he froze both glasses or containers and shaved off a portion of each and put them under a microscope. And it was amazing. The one that he blessed all the time had these beautiful, like snowflakes and beautiful designs in it that meant certain things like thank you and I love you and blessings and that kind of thing. You know, he said it signified a different thing. And then he did the same thing on the one he cursed. And you could not imagine the things that showed up on this other one. It was hate and it just didn't look like anything. And then there was another one. It was called, I don't remember what all he called them, but anyway, it was every one of them were just ugly, not even making any sense. And that told me, if you looked at it and you've seen the differences between the beautiful designs that it made when you blessed it and the ugly designs that it made, nothing really happened, looked like much. And the cursed side, you'd understand that your words mean a lot. Yet they mean life and death. They actually do. And the words that we speak to each other or about one somebody really affects people. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, we just had supper not too long ago. We had a nice pizza today, but before we ate it, we prayed over our food. We said, what would be the grace for the food from God? And we blessed our food. And I remember some testimonies of some people who had some real old chicken or something, and they made it anyway, and they didn't get sick from eating it. And so it's a practice that we are doing, and it's just, I just came to thought when Michael was saying that what he was just talking about. And, you know, we prayed for a lot of things, and they've come to pass too. You know? Praise God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. There's another one, another experiment. I saw this on YouTube. It's called a double split experiment. And a double split experiment, this guy makes a big box where it's enclosed, and he has a split window that you can allow the light to go through. And you can, when you look in there, whoever looks in there, it's different every time somebody else looks in there. The lights change colors. They different designs and stuff. It's really amazing. You can look it up. Look it up, double split experiment. And it also talks to us light stuff. Golly, there's so much stuff that we don't know. But all we need to know is God's going to do it. God's going to answer our prayers if certain conditions are met. All right, anybody else? I tell you what it did for me. It opened me up. And I can believe for anything now. I can believe for anything. They did this. They had people from different aspects of life focus on one person that needed healing, or a person that they needed healing. And they would focus and they'd say things about him, and the doctors would monitor him daily to see if there was any change. And they noticed a remarkable change in him as the days went on, that there was positive things happening all the time. And if they quit, you know, that it was just stay right there. It's amazing what we can do, what God has told us that we can do. And he's given us all the tools to do it too. That's the great part about it. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Something else you said in your in that recording yesterday, and that teaching you did on it, is that you can, I mean, in the spirit realm, right? We're not limited, so you can speak like those positive words into the atmosphere to somebody, say your family member who's lost or depressed or sick or whatever, and you speak words into the spirit realm specifically for that person, and you think about that person, you picture that person, and that it will change that person's whatever.
That was called the healing experiment, and they could do that. They could, and they did it from different aspects, different people. in different places, but they focused on this one person. And just within a few days, they noticed a change, in it. So you can do the same thing with family members or whatever, you know. I've been doing it since I found this quantum faith thing for my family members too. As a matter of fact, I want y'all to believe with me for my daughter, Allison. She had to drive herself to the emergency room today. I'm not real sure what's wrong, but I know this. God's got her in his hand. Lord, I just thank you for healing. I command healing into her body right now in Jesus' name. I command every organ in her body to be healed, restored as new in the name of Jesus. And I don't mean maybe. I mean, I thank you, Father, for doing that for her, because it's already done. I believe it. I declare it. And I decree that Allison is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Praise the Lord. I can just see them little particles just coming together, boy. Glory to God. Creating stuff. Lord, I thank you for changing her attitude toward her makeup, I should say, because she's always been one to look for something wrong. I thank you, Father, for looking for things that are right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just a complete 180 degree change in her attitude in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I'll tell you something else that he said. He said, how many of you know that when you get in an argument with someone, you don't feel good? And then it seems like everything just falls apart around you. Everything, you know, nothing goes right. That ought to tell us something. And what it tells us is this, is that when you have joy, peace, love in your heart for your fellow man, you're not going to experience the hate, the bitterness, and the things that go wrong in your life. And so that's why God tells us, you know, to love everybody. Speak good about everybody. I remember that. Always remember about Kenneth Hagin and that blue-eyed guy. I mean, the guy that always never said nothing bad about anybody. Didn't care how bad they were. And they had a bully in town. And that bully, he was bad. He would bully everybody. He'd drinking. See, when he was sober, he was okay. But when he was drinking, he just bullied everybody. And sheriff had to kill him because he come after him. And they were talking about him one day out there, and I'm glad he was. And this guy came up, and I said, well, what do you think about it there, whatever his name was? And he thought a minute, and he said, he had pretty blue eyes. Turned around and walked off. And that's the way we ought to be. You know, that's the way we ought to be. But, boy, we like to get in the meat of it, don't we? Yeah, I know he was a bad dude, man. That's not what God wants. He wants to speak love. We're supposed to be a light. And if you're a light, you can't be bringing darkness on somebody. That light is something else, too. I wish I knew everything there was to know about everything there was to know about, don't you? That'd be awesome. Yeah, Missy.
In that introduction video of Steve McVeigh, he made this comment. I don't know if he said we or you, but he said, we don't know what we don't know. And I thought of Marilyn right away because she says that.
Yeah, he's a good old Southern boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, I mean, this whole quantum thing has really given us, to me, it just what really, really hits home is where it says walk by faith and not by sight, you know? I mean, it's just like, really?
Hey, we're seeing it in real time, Missy, with the people mm-hmm. overseas, you know?
Oh, I know. It's so wild, you know? You that you don't know what you don't know thing. it's like, you don't know. You don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't have to explain
like a sentence.
I don't have to explain it. It's like, just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it's not real.
That's right. That's right. David talks about timelines a lot. You could be on the right timeline or you could be on the wrong timeline. If you're on the right timeline, you're going to see the reward that you have, that you've already prayed for. But if you're in the wrong timeline, you're going to see it. You're not going to see it. And that was something we're looking at. David's going to explain that more readily Sunday. He's going to have a part two to what I have today. So yesterday. It's going to be an awesome, awesome teaching. And then hopefully I'll have a part three come Wednesday. But it's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I was just thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Yep. You know, it talks about God dwelling in you and walking. And you just think on this verse and you go, and you think of the other verse there in 2 and 6 of Ephesians where you're supposed to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I don't know how this applies to this, but those are pretty powerful verses in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. You know, it's be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, but that's the one when it says to come into agreement with the sanctuary and not with idols. And I will dwell in them and walk and be their God to them, and they shall be my people. Quite a few very uplifting words there of where the Father is and how we express the walk in the Spirit, you know, and how we have our fruit of the Spirit and our blessings and our gifts of the Spirit also. So, you know, I know sometimes we think it's us, but it's God sovereign. Isn't he not sovereign? Didn't we read a book about that somewhere? It's just so amazing. You know? And we've all listened to some people, you know, like this Odin Hedrick guy there. You know, we listen to him going to heaven, and what kind of dimension is that? What kind of attitude did he have up there? What was there anything bad that came to him? You know, when they were there in their heavenly walks in heaven to show us perhaps verses that we do have already, and it's just so amazing how some of these things all just companion each other, these verses, and how it comes together like that. It's just so wonderful that it puts you in a different, whole different hemisphere, I have to say. a hemisphere of holiness, or a hemisphere of new life with Jesus, of course, the gift of new life. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it does say something in 2 Corinthians 2:17 too, now, not just 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty. It puts a whole new meaning to the truth will set you free. Anyway, for whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. You know? And what about that verse in Romans chapter 8, you know? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that freed us from the law of sin and death. You know, that's a life law. That's a life law and a light law, a light life law, according to John chapter 1. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's the great thing about this is you got a lot of scriptures in there that lines up with what they're finding out. A lot of scriptures, what the Lord's already told us to do. And the big one is, as far as this quantum faith goes, the big one is Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's the big one. You got to know that it's done. And don't make no never mind what you see and what you hear and what you smell and what you taste and what you feel. That's what the Word of God says. Yeah, it's great stuff to me. All right. Anybody else? That must have been a good piece of business.
So, you know, there's particles in light. You know, and if you're going to walk in the light, And as he is in the light, and of course the same apostle mentions the light that in him was life, and this life is the light of men. And you know, this light now, this light particle, you mentioned some light, even when at inception, when that male portion goes into the female portion, there's a flash of light there. And that's a, there's particles in light. I heard that somewhere. I'm not a good at physics, but, you know, and of course they can do a spectrograph of light too, and it'll show you the elements in that far away light source, spectrometer. And, there's particles in light. It shows you things. Praise God. Glory to God.
I've heard this. I'm not sure about it. But I've heard that the smallest particle is light. And light is made up of two other particles, which is sound, a wave. And I heard this guy say this. He said, you know, I'll bet you if you could get out there past the creation and wait until creation came by when he said, let there be light. That's what you'd hear. Let there be light as it came by. I don't know if that's true or not, but well, don't shake your head. You don't know. Could be. Could be. I don't know. Have you ever been out there? I can imagine.
Only when I read Genesis.
What?
Only when we read Genesis.
Yeah.
And of course, 2:10 of Ephesians. We had that experience.
Well, the great thing about it, he never did say stop, did he?
No, like we're created in Christ Jesus, so we all remember that day, that particular time in our life, and there must have been light there too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know there was on my part. Yeah, there had to be some great light.
Yeah. And just the same way as the physical, you have the spiritual area with the seed coming in. I don't know if there's any particles in the darkness. I couldn't tell you. I'm not that physically physic inclined. I'm not physics science inclined.
Neither am I, but I understand.
It was my worst subject in high school.
Yeah, I had physics in college. I didn't have it in high school, but I had a course of it in college. And it was pretty neat, I guess, but I didn't have anything about quantum. I didn't know nothing about no quantum. Couldn't even spell it, probably. But it's all part of God's plan. And it brings clarity to a lot of people. When they don't understand what faith is. Well, faith is just bringing things into reality. Faith is just bringing all those things coming up and coming together and bringing things into reality. You can change anything on you. I believe that because you can change how you look if you want to by believing it and confessing. I believe that. We talked about it last week. You know, you could change your hair color if you want to.
You know, sometimes you can get around those people. They have just a nice smile on their face all the time. And it is a person that it's addictive. That's why when you look at those little grandchildren of yours and all them babies, you're so happy all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, them grandbabies is something else. I seem to grow up too quick now. I guess the biggest thing of the whole thing, or the whole quantum thing is watching how you speak. Keeping your mind on Jesus and speak only as an oracle of the Lord. And if we can do that, if we can, Lord, help us do that. Just Lord, just help us. Your Holy Spirit, help us do that every day. To not be able to speak bad against anyone, just to speak only the eye color or whatever. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
How's it going, Mike? In Philippians chapter 4?
Yeah.
For the rest, that'll put you to rest anyway. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. I remember a song they used to sing in the Church of God about lovely. Whatsoever are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, take account thereof. What things ye have both have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
Amen. How many of you want the God of peace with you? Woo, Lord, I do.
That's the third fruit of the Holy Spirit. The two are one, that's making peace. You know, that's the peacemaker. That's the one who came to you and made you peaceful with Jesus. You know, the sons of God are blessed with making peace. That's what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers. For these are the sons of God. You got to have some maturity to make babies, you know. Make other Christians come to life, but the it's God who does it all anyway. He just uses us as a go-between. Praise God. Glory to God.
Yep. Amen. Well, at 4 or 6, and nothing be anxious. Ain't no use in having anxiety on you at all. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anything else? Yep. Yep, we sure do. Thank you, Lord. How many of you acknowledge who you are in Christ every day? Out loud. Yep. Amen. That is, that's powerful. It's powerful. It changes your mind renewal. Renewing your mind when you do that. I hit on it a little bit yesterday. It's called neuroplasticity. How many of you know that, how many of you were taught coming up in school that you don't, your brain cells don't multiply, that whatever dies is gone? I remember that. I remember in science class, they tell us that. That when you die, if you kill any brain cells in your brain, that's it. You don't get no more. But they have found out that that's not true. That your brain recuperates every night. Every time you go to sleep, it multiplies more, more. And it talks about, we talked about neuroplasticity. And all that is your brain is very, for lack of a better word, it changes. If you have, let's say you smoke cigarettes and you want to quit smoking cigarettes and you just quit, your brain, that was a stronghold, and you just went ahead and did something else, like started drinking whatever, something, water, more than getting a cigarette or something. And I'm just using that for an example. That takes that stronghold out of there, out of your mind. That's a stronghold. Everything that we've done over the years has built up these strongholds against what should be done. And the way, this guy said, the way to eliminate, get the good strongholds in there is to confess who you are in Christ, confess the good report, do all of those things like that every day. He said it's not an instantaneous thing. It takes a little bit of time. But if you're obedient to do it every day, those old strongholds will come down and you'll have a stronghold of the Word of God in your mind. And that's how you renew your mind. As the Lord was talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. No, I'm sorry. That's the other one. 1 Corinthians. Somebody help me out here.
Are you talking about Romans 12?
Romans 12, 2.
Be transformed by the
renewing of your mind.
Actually, according to the stage, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah, that's it. Anybody else? Yes, Romans 12 and 2. Missy, you're right. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you do that by confessing the word. Confessing everything that used to be a negative in your life to a positive. And then you'll break down those strongholds of the word with the word. I was listening to a lady not too long ago. She was and I can't think of her name, I apologize, but she was a Christian counselor, I guess you might call her. But she went around to churches talking about neuroplasticity and all of this stuff. and how it works and how you break down those strongholds. And what she said was this. She said, get you a list of confessions that you like to make in Christ, who you are in Christ, what you know, all of that kind of thing. Everybody probably has a list. Acknowledge who you are in Christ. And she said, take a few of them, two or three of them, and say them. She said for 12 minutes, I believe, three times a day. She said, you'll be amazed at what that'll do in just a little short time. Now, I don't know. I haven't done that because I stay busy pretty much all the time now. But I try to do it at least once a day when I first wake up in the morning. And before I go to bed, before I go to sleep. Can y'all see the change? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe you can change your DNA by your belief, by your faith. Yeah, Anna.
This is kind of a little unrelated, a little related, but you're talking about changing your hair color, you know?
Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, all my life, my eyelashes would like fall out. When I rub my eyes, they just fall out super easy. And I'd have like a millimeter chunks where there'd be like no eyelashes because they just fall out all the time. And they'd grow back, but they just always falling out. And one day I was just like, Lord, I was like, will you stop my eyelashes from falling out? I was like, Lord, I'm not asking for really nice eyelashes, but my brother's got these really nice eyelashes. And this is crazy that he's got better eyelashes than me. And, I was just like, whenever I see him, you know, falling out, I would just confess, nope, I've got nice eyelashes. Thank you, Lord. I was like, they don't have to be real long, but they're going to at least be in there, you know, they're not going to be falling out all the way. They're going to be, you know, solid eyelashes all the way across. And I would just every once in a while, just thank you, Lord. I've got, you know, all my eyelashes. And then one day I just realized they don't fall out anymore. And then they stopped falling out and they even got longer.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
You know, it's a little different than hair color, but it was just amazing because ever since I was a kid, they just fall out and it was into my adulthood when they finally stopped. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, the thing about hair color, you can just call Missy and get it done. Put bleach on it or whatever you need to put on it. All right. Anybody else got a question or a comment on faith, the quantum faith, or a question? Yeah, Theo or Lana?
I don't know if I shared this on the outreach, but after I had little Gabe, I lost a lot of hair, more hair than I've ever lost before. And a year after I gave birth to him, every time I'd wash my hair and I'd wring it out, it would just feel so thin in my hands. And the enemy would remind me of all those horror stories that you hear from other pregnant girls or mothers who gave birth about how they lost. I've had this happen to me where they'd come up to me and touch my hair and, oh, your hair is so pretty. And I used to have hair like that, but then I had a bunch of kids and it doesn't exist anymore, right? They all love to bless you in such a way. And I thought, no, I can't. And so I'd be reminded of this, like, now it's happening to you. And so, every time, I would wash my hair and have to do anything with it where I would notice how thin it is, I would just rebuke it. I would say, no, my hair is thick. It's coming back. It's growing in and this and that. And I'd do that every time I would, I'd do anything with my hair. And then one day, I had washed my hair or something and it was drying out. And so I put it up into a knot on the very top of my head. And I noticed there were wisps of hair, sticking out like a halo around my head. And I thought, what is this? And so I started brushing my hair down against the knot that was in my hair, which made it all come out. And pretty soon I had this very thick halo of hair around my face. And I realized what had been happening is that all the hair that I had lost had started to grow back in, but it was too short for me to notice. And so it was very close inside my scalp. It wasn't in my ponytail. And I was just in shock because there was about 6 inches already. And I was like, man, this is what I get for confessing. It's been there all along and I haven't been despairing and it's growing back in. And the other day I did that again where I started brushing out all the new ingrowns. And so Gabe is now 2 years old and it's been growing for 2 years. And so even though I have this long hair that's down to my waist, I also have hair that's down to my chin because that's how long it's taken to grow since Gabe's birth, from my scalp down to my collarbone, if you will. So this just been such a great testimony about hanging on to the truth and confessing it until one day the Lord says, you know, brush your hair backwards and see what this halo is all about. And it was brand new hair. So now I have along with this quantum faith talk and everything, I've got way more faith and like depth to conquer other fears and other curses in my life. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That's what he wants you to forget about it. And then you'll notice it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I've got a lot of hair too, in Jesus' name. My hair is back thick like it used to be. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Matt had to work tonight. He had a meeting tonight, so he's not going to be home. Romans. We're in Romans somewhere, aren't we? Anybody know where we are? I think we're in Romans 7. Anybody know for sure? Okay, we'll just start out at
Romans 7:9.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to start out at 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit, I had not known sin except through the law. For I had not known coveting, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. What's he talking about? I'm going to keep on reading because it probably was self-explained. And I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Well, what's he talking about? Verse 9, and I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. What that mean? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
No, it says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So a curse was coming back to him because law came back to him. And we're not under the law. Because we're under grace. And 6:14 says that for sin shall not lord it over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So sometimes these Jewish people, you know, and it's happening with Christians now, because they made a legality Christian instead of a called Christian, and it's been around for 1700 years, since the year 312, when they legislated Christianity. So the commandment will reinvigorate, especially a man who was a Pharisee all his life. You know, he said in Philippians, you know, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And of course, there's the law of faith in Romans chapter, I think it's 2 or 3. For I reckon, and all you Southerners should know that, because it's a reckon. I reckon that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So there's a re-remembrance, you know. It happened to Peter too in the book of Acts. You know, he went through a dissimulation that even the other apostle there, Barnabas, separated himself from all these people because they were eating at the table with the Gentiles. You know, they got stuck in this law thing. You know, it's what happens when you get these 40,000 different denominations, and they all have a different thought, a different law that they make up themselves, and they go, well, this is what we do, and this is what you do. But, you know, you get caught up into, you know, I don't know. I hope I don't start doing some of the things I used to do when I was in the Roman Catholic Church. So there's things there that convict and try to put you back into something that you were in once. And you really have to get a good understanding of this. And that's what I believe Paul is warning the Jews that are at Rome anyway. And also, you know, they're coming out of a religion with all these gods and goddesses in the Roman Empire. So, you know, some of those things could have rubbed off on them that they have to overcome too. I'm sure we all have to overcome being Canadian or something else, American. So, because we belong to the kingdom, and the kingdom's within you, and the kingdom's nigh you. So, praise God, it's always nigh you. So, glory to God. That's the commandment coming back to a Pharisee here. It gave him a headache. It might make him double-minded. I don't know. You know, you might need an airplane.
Well, let me read on. And the commandment which was unto life, this I found to be unto death. For sin, finding occasion through the commandment, beguiled me, and through it slew me. So that the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and righteous, and good. Did then that which is good become death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might be shown to be sin, by working death to me, through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now here we go into Paul's exhortation here. For that which I do, I know not, for not what I would that I do, I practice, but what I hate, that I do. But if what I would not, that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. So I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I... he just keeps going back and forth. And there's no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the law that to me who would do no good evil is present, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see a different law in my memory, warring against the law of the mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? Here comes the kicker. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 8:1, then there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Anybody want to nibble on that one? So what was he talking about? Going back and forth there on his sin and not wanting to sin. It was sin in him that was doing it. Well, y'all seeing it. We've actually talked about this before. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, to me, it looks like Paul's trying to get on side with God here. He's trying to show him that he wants to be with God. He does say that the law is holy, and he talks about a word here, the word good, a few times. And we know that goodness is about being holy because it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's goodness, and you know, there's 9 of them. So you know what? Sometimes when you follow that goodness, you know how you're supposed to live. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit, walk in goodness. The law is holy because it's the Word of God. We don't attain holiness through the Word of God, because we attain holiness by grace and faith. We have something over there in Romans 5:1 that gives you a justification. And through the justification, you're perfect, but you still enter into perfection. Even as Paul said, he didn't already count himself as perfect, but he would press onward to the upward high calling in Christ Jesus, as it says in Philippians. So he's striving to be perfect, even though he's perfect when he started. Just like a baby's perfect when he's born. And they're very innocent, but when you're born again, you're perfect.
Yep.
If you're around perfect people, it tends to rub off, you know. It makes a person really smiley all the time. and they just have that mentality that's in Philippians 4, that verse I read, and the prior one to it. And there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I think it goes that way somehow. So love is an agape love that never fails. It's in the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. So we love. We love because we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the light. And you know, yes. The light and is a glory that comes into you, and it gives you life. And that gives you the life of love. So you got the 3 L's, the light, the love, the light, the love, the light, the life, and the love. And you're supposed to walk in love. How do you walk in love? Like, how do you do that? You know, go put on a love suit. Anyways, the love suit is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And it can make you smile too. So you can smile a lot. But, you know, you could be sad too. But whether you have a synthesis shay or a yodia, an accident, or a success, you know, you're going to walk in Clamath, mercy for yourself and be forgiven. So walk in love, forgive yourself too. You got to love yourself. It says so. You got to love your own body because it's not your body anymore. It's Jesus' body. One body, one spirit. So let's get in the spirit and be that one spirit. And that's the first fruit of that spirit is that love, and it never fails. Agape stuff. You got to love everybody. I got to love everybody because you're another Jesus today. And those, you got to love your enemies too, because the one who said that you're supposed to have the four loves, and then you love your neighbor, and you love your enemy, and pray for them that persecute, there's just love. That's all there is. You can't do anything else. And don't argue with it. Because that's not right. You know, you can't argue with the Father. He knows what he's doing. And plus, he's already doing it through you. So why not just go along with it? Praise the Lord to God. And I hope that answered the question.
I answered the question real good. Thank you, Lord. Paul was just trying to teach him something. Okay. Here comes Romans 8. Well, this is a big one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Somebody explain that to me. That 903, is that clear? Megan? All right. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. How did it do that? All right, let's go on. Maybe it'll tell us. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did that answer it to anybody? And if it did, let me know. So if we walk in the Spirit, what does that mean? Let's just define that. We're not getting much participation here. All right, Joe, you want to come explain it?
I wouldn't say all of it, but when you're born again, you became two persons, the spirit man and the old man. When you're now you're citizen of a new kingdom, and under the new kingdom, there's new rules that's walking in the spirit, because in Christ there is no sin. So you have to walk in the spirit, and in the spirit there's no sin. That's why you say there's no condemnation, because in Christ there's no sin. You have to live by the spirit. The old man has died. He's the one. He's the guilty one. He's the one who give you all the assholes. That's all I think.
He is. So we're a new man in Christ. We're a new creature. We're new creation in Christ in the new covenant. Therefore, in the new covenant, all we have to do is to believe that we are, and it is. And if we sin, we have an advocate that we can confess to, and we're right back on the road again. Whereas the old covenant, you had to kill 182 bulls for things you did, whatever it was. And you never did really take care of the root of the cause. But in the new covenant, why is it different, Missy? I know you've read about it. You don't have to teach. You can just tell me what you think.
I'm sorry, I was a little distracted. Merle came across here. Ask that question again.
I don't know if I can. What's the difference in the old covenant and the new covenant? Let's just put it that way. Why is it easier in the new covenant?
It's all grace. It's not our works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But why is that?
Because Jesus was the only sacrifice.
Yeah. He took our sins and our mm-hmm. sicknesses on him, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So that we wouldn't have to. Yeah, that's the difference right there. Praise mm-hmm. God. And if he does that, if he's done that, all we have to do is just believe it's done. And we are righteous. What happened? Anybody else want to add to it? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Jesus fulfilled the law.
Yes, he did.
He abolished the law. He fulfilled it. He condemned sin in his body. He did away with it all. With his sacrifice, like you were saying.
Yeah, verse 4, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So if you're walking after the spirit, that's how you fulfill the law. And it's by the love of Christ, right?
Love fulfills the law.
Yep. Replaces the law. Thank you, Lord. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. So if the flesh is winning out in this battle between the flesh and the spirit, you're on the wrong road. But if the spirit is winning out, you're on the right road. You're on the right timeline. Let me put that. They're on the right timeline. Because the mind of the flesh, it says in verse 7, is enmity against God. It's an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Ain't no way flesh can be subject to the law of God. And that's why the carnal life has to die. When that carnal life is dead, you are being led by the Spirit. See you, Lana. Bless you. See you tomorrow night. And he says in the next verse, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh has got to go, according to what the Lord's telling us in this whole chapter. And in verse 7 too, chapter 7 too. The flesh is the enemy of us. Lord, help us to die to the flesh. Good night, Nick. See you, buddy. Help us die to the flesh and to always be aware of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the Word. Go ahead, Andrew. Also.
So is Paul, in fact, associating the law with flesh? Seeing as we don't the fulfillment of the law would be the love of God, which is the first fruit of the Spirit. I like to say that this is Holy Spirit, and I like to say that this is flesh spirit. So just to get it correct with the fruit of the flesh spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that they are listed in Galatia. And this is, if man gets factious, you know, out of the first or second admonition or warning, refuse. So we've ran into some people who tried to take leadership and become divisional and then go even worse from divisional to faction. So there is a spirit that's holy, and that's the only way you can be set apart, is holy. And you're promised that holiness, but the faction is not a holiness thing. Because if he's going to do it puffed up, and it's not built up to be love, and it's knowledge. And, you know, you can get some knowledge out of these people who give you the knowledge according to the witness of man and not the witness of God, as it says in chapter 5 of 1 John. You need the witness of God, and that's the witness of Holy Spirit. And that's the witness, because the three witnessing ones are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They didn't have a good enough blood in the Old Covenant either. So we've got a good blood now. We've got the blood of Jesus. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We're agreeing with the Lord, and we didn't love our lives unto death, because we're supposed to love another life, and that's the Spirit life. And that's the Spirit man. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in love. And we imitate our God as beloved children and walk in love. So we got to walk in love. We got to walk in Jesus. We got to walk in Emmanuel. We got to walk in the light. We got to walk in the Spirit. And we have to walk in the truth, according to 2 John and 3 John. So we walk. We do a lot of walking. Walk this way. Talk this way. It's right here in the Bible. You know, it's that guy who was singing that song. I don't know who he was, but he got it wrong. He had, I would want him to walk in the Spirit, and I would want him to walk in the water, and I would want him to walk, because we're supposed to have a heart for the people who don't know how to walk. They're not even babies yet. How can you walk if you don't become born again and be a baby? And be a toddler and grow up to be a new youth and a new team. And that's why it works out so well when you got these parents who brainwash you with clean water, holy water. So there you have it, you know. So, I mean, you got to be pure. It says so. And you're blessed with it. So don't say you're not blessed, because you are. God said, you're blessed. You got all the blessings. And he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, you get new eyeballs. They wanted to give the eyeballs to Paul the apostle because he had to claim them for him. Because he got the scales off of his eyes. Praise and glory to God. Praise God. It's not joking. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Praise God. But it's fun. Christianity can be very fun. It can be very exciting. But it's, I don't know why the people, yeah, just get excited. It should be, we got energy. They don't. They got no power. They got darkness. What can you do? Turn off all the lights. Go into the bathroom. If you don't have a window, see how far you can go.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, that's right. It is a fun. It is so much fun when you're a Christian than it is when I was a heathen.
It's a joy of the Lord.
Yes.
The second fruit. You know, that's
glory to God. God, I don't see.
If you don't have love, how are you going to get joy? How are you going to go beyond it? You know, you've got to be diligent. And I'm not talking about that old man on SpongeBob SquarePants that was a superhero. You got to be diligent. You add to your faith all the way down to love. You know, you get all those little dolls and the faith is the big guy. And who's on the inside? Love. And it never fails. It's the last doll that opens up. You know, add to your faith, virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge has got to be in there somewhere. And it's not yours. It's given to you. And, you know, blessed is the man that gets some righteousness from the Lord, you know. And when you get righteousness, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. How many of you mothers had to feed your child in that high chair? You fill them up. Or they're not going to be happy, you know. You know, and you gotta love them because you know they might have a sense of shame when they're babies, and someone's gotta change them. They have an accident, but you still gotta change them. So there's a lot of worse accidents than what a baby might do, and he still loves us anyway. So praise and glory to God. Anyway, thank God.
Lash is hungry all the time. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That means you're not born again. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. What's that mean, y'all? Come on, man. Y'all not going to give me enough time to eat this pecan cluster. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. What does that mean? Yes. Come on, Andrew, you're on the spotlight. Ben, where are you going? You trying to get over that pizza?
It's written in reverse from the first chapter of Romans. There's the righteous shall live by faith, but this is the spirit of life because of righteousness. So if you're going to have this righteousness, you better get some. Because you know why? You hunger and thirst there after righteousness, and ye shall be filled. And once he fills you, the whole world's not going to like you, because one of the last blessings is blessed are the righteous. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's going to fill you up with something that the whole world, the fleshies, don't like. He's going to fill you up with something there that flesh people don't like. The flesh spirit doesn't like. He's going to fill you up with his righteousness. So, you know, the righteous shall live by faith, but here you have a small s spirit is life. Now, whose life is that? And that small s spirit of life is Christ in you, the hope of glory, because we have the spirit of truth, not the spirit of error. And we know how to discern this spirit. As a matter of fact, when that other spirit comes along and tries to give you a headache, you cast him out, that imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Because this knowledge of righteousness is what the knowledge of God is. This righteousness is the righteousness of God, and it gives you life, and it gives you the light, and the light shines in your soul. In fact, that lamp is on. It never goes out. You don't want it to go out. You need power for it to stay on, and you need light for it to stay on. And you need bread in your soul, too. By faith, you partake of this bread, not by sight. If it was by sight, I got a lead on everyone here, because I had a lot of bread today. It's not kitchen bread. It's a different bread. It's a bread of life that came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So this is the bread of life. It's the word of God in your soul, because you got a life-giving spirit that told you what has to go in your soul, and you got an open door for him to come in, to turn the lights on, and to have a bunch of bread in your soul. Just like it says in the temple of old. They had the show bread table with 12 loaves on it and 7 lights in that menorah candle. And they're trying to teach us that it's a physical temple again, some of us. Is it a physical menorah candle too? I guess the people at Hanukkah might have it right. They got the letter, and it's in their windows. But we got the spirit, and it's in the windows of our eyes and ears and nose and mouth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And that's the bread he feeds you and the light he gives you. So I even think I lost my way. I was talking about righteousness there. Righteousness of this life. So it's just a reversal of the righteous shall live by faith. It says here, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. So it's a spirit of what's in the life? Well, the love and the light, to walk in the love, to walk in the light, walk in this life, and to walk in the love. You're imitating. You're a new life in Christ Jesus. And this is what you're doing. You don't want to have any of the other. Unrighteousness is sin. You know, righteousness is a fellowship. We don't have fellowship with iniquity. Two in 2 Corinthians 6 and something. But we've got to walk in righteousness. And that's the spirit of life. And it's even italicized. Is it? No, it's not italicized, sorry. But it's a small s, but the big S is coming up. But if the spirit, there's the big S. The small s is the saint. The big S is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes small s's. Praise God.
Hi, Michael, you're muted.
I knew that. All I was doing was reading that verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let me do something here for I forget it. Okay. Yes. What is that spirit that he's talking about there? That's the big ass spirit, ain't it? That's the Holy Spirit. There's whole denominations that deny the Holy Spirit. That's fixing to change. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask and I pray during this time of tribulation that you would open up people's eyes to see that the denominations that they're in, the religions that they're in is not helping them. Matter of fact, it's all it's doing is taking money from them. Father, we just ask and we pray for it. Enlightening their spiritual life with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is here with us to lead us and to guide us and to teach us those things that we need to know to help us to overcome the power to overcome the flesh that you're talking about right here in this chapter. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I just ask and I pray that everybody here that hear me and that is here with us tonight, they understand now a lot more about faith and how it works, and that the faith now coupled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to get a lot done. And we praise you for that, Father. We know it's not of our own that we can do anything. We have to rely completely upon you, Lord. But we do. You've taught us to believe that we have received. And because of that, Lord, we are great men and women of faith. Thank you for it, Father. I speak that and declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that everybody tonight is going to have a good night's sleep or a good day's work, whichever one it is. And we praise you, Father, that the Holy Spirit, that when they wake up in the morning, that they're going to ask you to fill them back up for the day. And we praise you for it, Father, because we know we need him. I know I need him to teach me and to keep me and to lead me into the things that you have us to do, Lord. keep our minds focused, our eyes focused upon you, Lord. And these things that come up, it seems strange, but they're not. We thank you, Father, for just accepting it and to pray and to believe and to help people with that love that Andrew was talking about a while ago. And let that love be with us everywhere we go. That we'd have a smile on our face everywhere we go. We would be a light to everybody. It's like this guy I saw yesterday while I was walking. Big, tall, older guy with his wife sitting down on my bench. And and he said, well, at that time of day it is. But anyway, he was there, Lord, and you saw that just a frown on his face. And I grabbed him by his foot and I said, boy, you need to smile. And the biggest smile came up on his face. It was just awesome. And I praise you for that, Father. And I hope it just made his day. Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' name. All right. Y'all be blessed.